I'm driving back from a live team meeting. We went through SWAT 2 with Curry Blake and talking about spiritual warfare, apostolic training, and so this is crucial to our development and to our survival as soldiers, because we have to understand that when we became sons of God, when we were born again, when we decided to leave the old life and follow after Christ, we chose to walk in a different direction than what everyone else was walking. And so what it did was stir up a lot of demons and enemies around us. But God had positioned us in Him spiritually. We became born again. We are in Christ. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. But since we are around people who are not in Christ, and they are in the flesh, then one of two things can happen. When you're born again, you become a new creation. Your spirit is new. However, the way you used to think and the way you used to do things are still strongholds. The way you used to believe, the way you used to deal with people or react to situations. In the flesh, if someone cuts you off in traffic and gives you the finger, your old man would be upset and give the person the finger, but your new man is saying, no, don't do that. But you're still in your old man because you're in the flesh. Because when you react in the flesh, you are still reacting as the old man. So, in order to react in the spirit, we have to be in the spirit. And so when you get cut off in traffic and you begin to react in the spirit, then really what you're doing, especially if someone is driving violently on the road, you immediately, I do not react in the flesh. I just say, Lord, send protection over those people, because they're driving very dangerously in this traffic, or they're going too fast, or they're trying to speed and pass me, and they're upset about something. And so, Lord, just bring protection over them. And so, so instead of reacting in the flesh, now you're still going to have family members around you that are going to poke and prod and try to get you off into your old man. And you're still going to want to react in that old man. Now, here's the deal. There are things within our souls, that areas in our souls, for example, where the enemy came in even as a young child. If you were molested or raped, there was this spirit or this demon that tried to enter your body through that trauma, through that molestation, a man can transfer spirits by his bodily secretions into your body, and it can reside within your soul, and you, even after you're born again, you don't realize it, but you've got this basically demon living in your soul from this trauma that happened to you when you were a child that you can't even remember, because you've it's like out of your subconscious memory, or your conscious memory, and it's moved into your subconscious memory because of the trauma. And so this demon is probably and most likely the root of the problem. And so talk about people cutting you off. I mean, this truck just reared past me, and I'm on this like narrow, windy dirt. I'm not dirt road, but back road in the country. So
you can be born again. Curry Blake has a teaching that is called "Can a Christian Be Demon Possessed?" And honestly, the answer is yes. Now, we've seen Christians delivered from demons, and we see Christians that are tormented with demons. Look at cancer. I mean, cancer comes to, if you see a person who's dying with cancer, you can just see the demonic influence in that person's soul, because cancer is definitely not a representation of the kingdom of God. It is a representation of the kingdom of darkness, because you see people's souls literally eaten away by this demon of cancer. And so we know that cancer is a spirit. It cannot be cut out. It has to be cast out in the name of Jesus. Jesus said, cast out demons, heal the sick, raise the dead, and cast out devils. So that is the Great Commission. That is our Great Commission. So in the area of spiritual warfare, we have to realize we have an enemy, and we have to get to the root of the problem. And so we have to understand who our enemy is. You can't fight effectively if you do not know his schemes. It says that for us not to be ignorant of the wiles, the schemes, the tactics of the enemy. And he is going to start at a very early age in your life. We hear testimonies from Curry Blake where he talked about the enemy tried to take him out when he was like 18 months old. He got run over 16 months old, 17 months old by a car. His grandpa ran over him, and the enemy tried to take him out. So we've got to know that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. But let's face it, we couldn't fight when we were little. And maybe we didn't have parents that could fight for us. He did. His mom went and prayed, and she got results. Because the doctors told him, first off, he'd never walk. Second off, he'd never have hair. And he's walking and he has hair. And so, if we weren't fortunate enough to have somebody that could pray and have any kind of spiritual discernment in the spirit realm, then we were just left kind of helpless, hopeless, And so we carried this thing around with us, and we didn't even know that we had that. And so so we go into situations or into places where God is leading us into the truth, and we find people with enough spiritual discernment to know, okay, this is what this is. We're casting this thing out. In Jesus' name, you will be free. And I know a lot of Christians that have allowed certain things to happen in their lives, and or are unaware of things that have already happened that have come into their soul and has affected their soul. And they don't understand why. Why is this happening to me? Why does this always happen to me? Why do I always get involved with men who are abusive? Why do I always find... Why do these type of people attract themselves to me? Why... And you don't realize that something within your soul, it's those spirits that are attracted to the other spirits that are in that other person's soul. And so so we have to be able to deal with those things and get deliverance and complete deliverance from those things. But the body of Christ, really at this point, it's hard to say, because it doesn't seem as though very many people are getting the deliverance they need, because church has become more like a playground than a training ground. And so we come to church to get puffed up, tickled up, hyped up, excited, and there doesn't seem to be any spiritual discernment or spiritual warfare. I'm not talking about all churches. There are churches who are teaching spiritual warfare, teaching things that are helping the body of Christ move ahead. But there's not very many. They're becoming few and far between. I mean, there's a church on every corner in this little town, and or in, if you're in a small town or whatever, you see churches popping up all over the place, but you don't see a whole lot of you don't see a whole lot of training or teaching or warfare or spiritual warfare tools that people need to cut it out, to stick it out, to run the race. It says to fight the good fight of faith. Run with endurance. And he that endureth to the end shall be saved. We're in a long distance race. This thing, you know, people jump in, and next thing you know, the least little bit of opposition comes against them, and they've dropped out of the race. Listen, folks, you're not going to win if you drop out of the race. You've got to keep your eyes fixed on Jesus and what he wants you to do. There are so many things that are trying to come against people and against the anointed ones of God, which we're anointed if we're born again. We have the Holy Spirit. He's the anointing. And he resides and lives in us and abides in us. He no longer comes and goes. He stays. So we have made him an abode. And so, but the thing is that he is a gentleman. Okay, so here's the deal. So, We've got to realize this life is not our own. We have been bought with a price. We are dead. Now our life is hid in Christ. And the decisions that we make now are revolve around our fellowship, union, communion, and understanding of Christ in us, the hope of glory. We are no longer seeking after the things of the world or the things of the flesh. We are seeking after the King, because there is nothing else to seek. That's all there is to seek. I don't want to seek after other things. I want to seek after Jesus. He is the King. He is the righteous judge. And so we have to stay on track, stay on course. You know, there's roadblocks that try to, on your journey and your race, there are things, the road is not going to be just smooth and paved. And you think the enemy's just going to lay flat and say, okay, it's all going to be a bed of roses. Come on. No. He hates you. Do you understand? You're building the opposite of what he is building. He wants to destroy. And so you're building his kingdom. So he is going to try to attack you on every front. You have to know who you are in Christ Jesus. If you don't know who you are in Christ Jesus, you're not going to take your authority, your spiritual authority. Luke 10:19, it says that we have all power, all exousia, all authority over all the works of darkness. It's not that there's not darkness. There's darkness. Don't fool yourself. We're not playing around. This is not a game. It is not a joke. He seeks to devour, to steal, to kill, and you're seeing the onslaught of his slaughtering devices when you see the body of Christ and even people all around the world being slaughtered financially, physically, their finances, their marriages, their homes. And so we have to take authority as the church and cast these things out in Jesus' name, because we have the authority. We are in Christ. Christ is in us. And he said, all authority in heaven has been given unto me. And now you are in me. I am in you. There is no separation between us. Now you go in Jesus' name. He said it was expedient. He told his disciples, it is expedient. It is better for you that I should go. Because if I go, then I will leave an advocate. I will leave the Holy Spirit. And there will be unto you the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of power, the spirit of revelation, the spirit of knowledge, the spirit of understanding, the spirit of truth in you, the spirit of counsel. He will reside in you. He will dwell in you. He will live in you. And he will show you where to go, what to do, who to speak to. He will teach you all things. And so we have that spirit, the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, dwells in us. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. All power, all authority, all exousia, all means all. So Father, we thank you that we have all authority over all the works of darkness. Father, we thank you that your word is truth. Father, we thank you that your word is life. And not only is your word life, But your word goes forth and produces life. How do you say your word goes forth and produces life? Because if it's just in the Bible, it's just another book. And those are just other pages in a book. But when a son of God speaks, heaven hears and agrees, and hell hears and obeys. And so, when we read those words that are just words in the Bible, they aren't just words. Those are swords. Those are the spirit of truth. That is a sharper than a two-edged sword word that pierces, dividing asunder, sharpening bone and marrow. It pierces and divides, and it brings forth. He said that he would bring forth that which he has sent his word to do, that it would accomplish that which he sent it forth to do. And if we send forth a word, and it's a word of healing for someone's body, we know that Christ died not only for their sins, but for their healing. And that word is going forth out of our mouth because it is sharper than any two-edged sword. And it pierces that darkness. And that darkness has to flee in Jesus' name. And so they are healed. Now, when were they healed? They were already healed. They may be sick in their body, but they were healed 2,000 years ago when Jesus came and suffered those atrocious marks and whippings and bruisings on his body. Even before he paid for our sin, when he died and was crucified and his blood was shed, he paid for our healing. When his body was bruised and beaten and broken and whipped and scourged, it says that we would not even recognize him. He was marred. If you had looked upon him, there was no resemblance. He was whipped so bad that you could not even tell that he was a human being or who he was. He was scourged. He was beaten. And upon his stripes, we were healed. That's when you were healed. Your body may not receive that manifestation until a son of God speaks. Heaven hears and agrees, and hell hears and obeys. In Jesus' name.